Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here and see all spaces again and connect with you. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you all some more this afternoon, Lord willing. I was this morning, as I was listening to the opening there, I was just greatly inspired. I don't think you should ever apologize for having too many scriptures, because the Bible says, preach the word of God. So I bless you for that. I also had to think, you know, you mentioned there that God gave Jesus Christ the Spirit without measure. He was the fullness of God, but he could do anything and everything. But God hasn't given you and I given it to us without measure, because I believe he knows we couldn't handle it. And so therefore he has given gifts to each brother that to keep each other, that, you know, this brother has a spirit of knowledge, this brother has a spirit of understanding, and God can use that in the body. So but Jesus Christ could handle it, but we can't. I know I can't. I don't know about you. Because man has a tendency to let things go to his head. And so let that be encouragement to you, that you need each other as a body so that you can have all those seven spirits functioning here in your local body. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians 3:17 for a text. Not sure why the Lord laid this on my heart for today, but this is the subject I felt for a couple weeks already, as I've been preparing to come and was asked to come just on this subject here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. We have just one verse here. We'll read some more here later. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. And so I've titled the message, title is probably not going to make a whole lot of sense, but I'll explain it a little later. A mistint or a perfect match. So that's my title, a mistint or a perfect match. How many of you know what a mistint is? Okay, there's quite a few do. I'll explain it a little bit later. So this is a subject I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart today, and it is a subject, more of a difficult subject maybe for a minister to preach on. And it could be a controversial subject also to some, depending where you're at. And it's probably a message that's a little hard for a minister to preach in their home congregation also. And by the way, I'll just make this clarification. The elders here don't know what my message is today either, so it's not that they asked me to preach this. I'll make that clarification. It's a subject that many find hard to apply to their lives and listen to, and I trust that you will hear me out today and not run to the end of the message so that you don't run me out the door, because it is a scriptural subject. So I'm going to be looking at five different words today that you will find in the Bible, and look at different passages in the scriptures with the five different words in them, And these five different words have the same meaning and share the same Greek word in some passages and have similar meanings in other passages. And so I want you to follow with me closely. I want to lay, before I start here, I want to lay some groundwork for the message first and then make some application. And so I'm going to write these words on the board over here. First one is example. Next one is ensample. Next one is pattern. They're all familiar words. Next one is form. Next one is fashion. And they all have the same, in some instances, they all have the same, you can do your own study if you want, the same Greek word, tupos, which is 5179 in your concordance. So I'll give you that information. You can go do your own study on it. And that word actually means an impression, the mark of a blow, the impress of a seal, the stamp made by a die, a figure, a image, a form, a mold. Excuse me. For example, you take a die, what's going to happen when you put something in a die? It's going to come out the same every time, correct? You put something into a mold, it's going to come out the same every time. A form, you put something in a form. You know, if I take a hammer onto a piece of wood, it's going to make the same mark every time. It says a strike, a blow. If I take a hammer to this pulpit, it's going to let the same mark every time, a round mark. And so that is what that word means. And so an example, what are you supposed to do with an example? An example is to follow. 1 Timothy 4:12, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That word example is, Timothy is that figure, he's that example that Paul is encouraging him to be, that everyone could follow. Let no, that he should be an example to the believers. And so I just want to go through these words real quick here and show you the passages that where they have the exact same meaning there, that same Greek word. So I just showed you the word example, the 5179 in 1 Timothy 4:12. Ensample. Many of you know, have went to a store to get some paint, an ensample. I picture it like a paint chip. I have a paint chip here, and you walk into the paint store, and you pick out your colors sample, and you take it up to the counter, and they put the numbers into the computer, and they put the paint can under the tint. How many of you have seen that already and watched them mix it? It's kind of interesting to see all those different colors come out and get the color you want. And they put it in, and they shake it, and it becomes a perfect match to your paint sample that you just handed them. It's amazing how it works. But sometimes, you know, there's maybe one of those nozzles gets plugged a little bit and one tint doesn't get in that's supposed to, and you end up with a mistint, what they call a mistint. And it gets rejected by the customer because it's not a perfect match to the sample that you just gave them. And so the customer rejects it. And so it's not matching up to your ensample. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, is where this word ensample is. It says, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Apostle Paul is saying there, many of you know what the chapter is there, 1 Corinthians 10 is giving the account of the children of Israel, where they were out in the wilderness, they were murmuring, they were complaining because they had no food, they had no water, and they were living in immorality, and they were doing all kinds of things there. And the Apostle Paul says, here's your ensample. If you do likewise, that's what's going to happen to you. Here's an ensample that you can look to. If you find yourself in those in that state in your life, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be destroyed by the destroyer. And then there's more passages also with that same word ensample, and I will get to some of those a little bit later. And so we have the word pattern, same word. That word pattern, it means to copy, to trace. I'm sure probably all of you sisters have a dress pattern, right? All of you. Or at least you have someone who has one that helps you. And so those of, I didn't see any hands go up. Do any of you ladies have dress patterns? A few, not all. But so those of you who use a pattern, why don't you just wing it? Why don't you just start winging it and going for it and start cutting? You will end up with something way different than what you desire, right? But you copy, you trace it. You're following the pattern. And we example of the scriptures where this same word, same meaning, is in Hebrews 8, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And so I'm going to share this. God admonished Moses when he was up in the mount that he would make everything the same in the tabernacle that he saw on the pattern. And we're going to see a little bit later that we are still admonished of God to follow the pattern. We're still admonished of God. The next one is form. The metaphor is that of a cast or frame into which molten material is poured so as it to take its shape. Example for concrete. You form it up and it takes shape. What would happen, those of you who work construction, if you try to pour concrete without any form? You'd have a mess. It'd be all over. It'd be less than desirable. It's not what you're looking for without any form. And so the gospel is the mold, and those who are obedient to its teachings become conformed to Christ. Romans 6:17, here's a passage, the same. I'm just showing you passages of scriptures that have this same word, have these five different words in, and they all have the same meaning, same Greek word. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You have obeyed that form of doctrine. Same word, pattern, trace, example. The next one is fashion. Many times when we hear the word fashion, our minds maybe go to a negative side. We think, but it is also a biblical word, and the Bible uses it in a positive tone and a negative tone. And so this world has what the world calls fashion models. And the goal for those people is to get other people to follow their example, right? I mean, they get paid to do it, to fashion, to, and that is, they are the role models that the world looks up to. And the passage of scripture I want to give that goes with it, Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. So there again, this is Stephen here. He's preaching there, and he uses the same word that the word pattern there is in Hebrews 8:5. It talks about Moses was admonished of God to make it after the same pattern, and Stephen here uses a different word, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. So what do people do? They look at the fashion models of our world today, and they make themselves according to what they see, right? That's the goal, that they do that. And you take Noah, it's in Genesis 6:15, it says, and this is a fashion which thou shalt make it. When Noah was instructed in the ark, it uses that word fashion. This is the fashion that you should make it. And so if we turn to Philippians 3, there where in our text, this talks about Jesus' return. We'll see that word again. Who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so our body someday, if we continue in the faith, is going to be fashioned according to his glorious body at Jesus Christ's return. And so back to our text here in Philippians 3:17, Paul is saying, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which so as you have us for an example. So Paul is telling the Philippians here, I am the example to follow. My life is the ensample, the paint sample that your life is supposed to match up to, because I am following Christ. My life, you can look at my life, you can trace it, because it is a pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the fashion model for you to imitate. You look at me and you order your life according to me. That's what he's telling the Philippian church here. My life has been formed, molded into the form of Christ. Paul's walk and his relationship with God is in such a place that you can use me as an example and to follow, he says. And then he doesn't stop there. Paul knew that he wasn't going to live forever on this earth. He knew he was going to be off the scene. And now he tells you and I that there's going to others be following Christ also. And he knew others would have to take his place as an example, as an ensample, as a pattern, as a fashion, as a form. And so he's telling you and I, you look at my life, way I lived in the scriptures, and then you go and you find someone around you and you mark that man and you follow him as he follows Jesus Christ. You don't just blindly, you know, and I want to share here that this message I shared earlier can be controversial, but I want us to look at this principle today. You mark that man and follow him as he marks Jesus Christ. And so the world uses this principle all the time. And I brought an illustration here to for you to have this. So he's saying, you find a man, you put a check mark on him, and you follow him. So, as I follow Christ, isn't that what he's saying? Mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. And so he's saying, mark them. I'll just put this over here as a reminder today. The world uses this principle all the time. Young people, they imitate their favorite sports heroes. Young people imitate their favorite basketball players and moves. They do all kinds of fancy moves and they follow them, right? We see that all the time. As you go on through driving, they spend hours watching and observing them and imitating them because they want to be like them. That's their goal, is to be like them. People mark their favorite music artists and they try to imitate them. They wear the clothes they wear, the shoes they wear, the hairstyles they sport. If you've ever been witnessing at a country music concert, they come in cowboy boots, cowboy hats, Western clothing. And why? Because they want to imitate the person that they put a mark on their back. They have that person marked, and because they want to be like them. People mark their favorite businessmen. They hear their prep talks. They want to become like them. Why? Because they want to earn as much money as they did. They want to become like him. You know, on social media and Facebook, people gloat how many followers they have. You know, I personally don't really know, but I just hear. I don't have Facebook myself. But, you know, the more popular you get, the more followers you got, because they've got another check mark on their back. And so the world uses this principle. Here in Philippians 3:17, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. And so we see it all around us. You look for that. So Paul is telling there, you look for that perfect match, someone who walks like I walk. And so Paul is saying, my walk is in Christ Jesus. My walk in life resembles Jesus Christ. And so you find that person and mark them. And so I'm using these illustrations that I just gave, you know, of the sports heroes, because I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is missing a scriptural principle here and missing Paul's heart. Or maybe verse 17 here that I just read is obsolete for us today. Is it obsolete for us today? It's the Word of God. It's not obsolete. And so hopefully by the end of the message here, you'll see that it still applies to us today. And my question is, who are those men and women that we are supposed to mark? Who are they? Who are they? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's one example of some men you should mark. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Here's our word, and samples. Here's our paint chip that we take up to the counter and that people are supposed to check and supposed to mark. The same word, 5179. And so when a church has an ordination and ordains an elder, when you are marking that man and his wife as an example to follow. You went through the biblical qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy and Titus, and this brother and his wife fit the description, and when you cast your lot or vote for him, you just put a big check mark on his back for you to follow him as he follows Christ. And so, or if you decide to move into a congregation also, maybe you're looking to relocate. That means, you know, that if you're moving there, you're putting a check mark on those elders' backs that they're going to be my example. They're fitting the biblical qualifications, and I am checking them to be my match, my who I'm supposed to walk after. And so this puts the huge responsibilities on the elders' shoulders. Just want to address that. This puts a huge responsibility on the elders' shoulders. And when I'm talking about matching, I want you to know that I'm talking about walking in Jesus Christ in purity and holiness and, you know, inward and outward. It's not just, it's everything that we may experience the spirits of God in our lives. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you would like to turn with me there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, we read the Apostle Paul. Here he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we have not behaved, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, you know, our responsibilities as elders is to make myself an ensample, giving myself to the word and prayer, not behaving myself disorderly, realizing the responsibility that I have a mark upon my back. Eyes are watching me. I'm in the bullseye. And encouraging people to examine my life and to be Bereans, as the Apostle Paul says. Like he says, it's not because I have power. It's not because I want power, but because I want you to be in heaven someday. I want you to follow my example, because my example is in Jesus Christ. I am the bullseye you can follow. And so Paul is saying, I am making myself an ensample. And that is our responsibility as leaders. And I encourage also fathers, this is our responsibility, that we make ourselves, we humble ourselves, and remember and make yourselves an example. And like I shared earlier, I realize today these things that I'm preaching today can be taken and abused and have been taken and abused, but there is a right and proper place in the Church of Jesus Christ for this principle that I'm teaching on today. Back to our passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. Or 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." I believe that we are sometimes missing an important element of this scripture. We hear these scriptures expounded on at and during ordination preparation and during ordination about feeding the flock. We hear about taking oversight. We hear about not being lords. We hear about being in samples, which is good. All this is good. But I think we are missing a deeper meaning, a deeper message in this point. What is an example for? Just to put on a shelf up here and to look at and to watch and to dust off? Or what do you do with an example? Is it just to sit up here, you put it up here as an example, and that's all you do with it? Most example, an example is to be followed, right? Someone's a good example, you follow it. No matter what you do, you know, if you're building something and you're training someone new, they are watching your example to see how you do it. Because they are learning. And so an example is not to be put up on a shelf and just watch. And I'm afraid sometimes that is the picture we get when we have an ordination, that the flock just expects it to be put up on the shelf and to be watched instead of following, instead of copying, instead of patterning yourself, letting that form mold you, instead of letting them be your fashion model. And so Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That word conversation is not talking like I am. It's their holy walking Christ Jesus. That is what you're supposed to follow. Their faith, and then it says, considering the end of their conversation. They are faithful unto the end. They're the same today, yesterday, and forever, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And turn with me, if you would like, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have some more verses here, and this is why you are to mark them and follow them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. We hear people who have a lot of words today, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So what gave his word power, or his life power? But I didn't just come to you in word only, but I came in power. And he says, and I believe it's his life. You know what manner of men we were among you for my sake. You know how I walked with Christ. That's what gave the words that he spoke. That's what gave them power. That's what gave him unction. You have a man who's following Jesus Christ and walking in holiness and purity, and when he speaks, he has a life to come behind it and give it power. And that is a powerful tool, a powerful witness. And many of us, I'm sure, have experience. We hear a lot of right words coming forth, and we look at the life that's following, and it just takes everything away. It takes all the power away. It just somewhat seems meaningless to us. We sit there and scratch our head, and we wonder, something's not quite right. The power is missing. And then look at verse 6, and he says, and you became followers of us, this, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And this is the reason that you follow those you mark. It says, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so what's happening here, Paul is blessing them that because they became followers of him, they actually became in samples also. And their ensample went out into all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, he says. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And so Paul says, I don't even need to say anything, because you have followed me as I've followed Christ. You put a check mark, and you let yourself be fashioned after me, formed after me. You followed the pattern, and you became an ensample yourself. You became that perfect match. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the elders are walking with Christ and have made them in samples, and the parents are following their in samples of the elders, and they themselves become in samples, and the children are looking to their in samples of their parents, and there's no mistints coming forth. It's matching. They're following Christ. It's a chain reaction. Recently, I had a young man come to me and share how he went to his father and asked him the question, how can I have more zeal for God? He has a burden of God resting up on his heart to just be used of God. And I was just, it excited me what is the answer his father gave him. The father, he says, my dad told me to spend more time with men who have full of zeal of God. You know, mark men that are full of zeal of God. If you want more zeal, he says, he told him, mark him, and you spend time with him. You follow him. You go after it. And so I was blessed by that. Throughout the 21 years that I've been a Christian, I have taken this passage and done that literally. I've marked men, and I followed them. And I wanted to learn how to preach how they preached. I wanted to teach how they taught. I wanted to have the zeal they had, you know. And I've been blessed with that. And I still have men marked in my mind who I admire and who I want to follow. I have men marked. And so this is the Apostle Paul's burden here in Philippians chapter 3, if you would like to go back to there, 17 verse 19, that they would be a perfect match and not a mistint. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. And now look at verse 18 and 19. Here we have the mistints. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. Notice there is no resemblance to the paint chip. They are not following the pattern. There is no resemblance to the ensample. It looks completely different. And I want to point out the difference. Notice there, it says, who mine earthly things. They mine, the mistints are minding earthly things. That word mine, is the same Greek word as affections. Their affections are on earthly things. They're not on the things of Christ. They're mistints. And they will be rejected. That word conversation there, look at verse 20. Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." My walk in this life shows that it's in heaven. It's not on this earth. My mind isn't here. Colossians chapter 3, "Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." So Paul is saying my walk shows where my affections are, where my mind is. And so where is your mind? You find men and women who walk like Paul did, and mark them and follow their example. In verse 17 and 18, we have the mistense, and he tells us why. Because they're earthly. They walk, resembles the world. There's no Christ-like likeness there. And, you know, my burden is, many times you meet men who are ordained of God to lead the flock, godly men, inspiring men, love the Lord, preach powerful message. Their families are a blessing, and then you're inspired by them. You want even to visit their church, and sometimes you think, as you walk in, your heart just sinks. It looks like it's full of mistints. You are just inspired by this brother and his inspiring life, and then you see people who mind earthly things. Their affections are on things of the world. They resemble the world. And so I just share that. That's my burden. I have a burden that, you know, are we missing an important doctrine in the scriptures where we are not applying this scripture? I know that it's controversial to many people, but yet the principle is still here. You know, and so my burden is, you know, other families don't look like they're in sample, the man who's marked. There's fashions and coolness and you name it. And so this message is an appeal to the flock, don't be mistense. And I don't sense that here, but it's just a warning. The scripture, I believe, is a vital point to a thriving church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about blindly following. I trust you understand my heart. Paul encouraged the Bereans that they should search the scriptures daily to see if the things he was speaking were true or not. Earlier, I was talking about, if you go out witnessing and you see all these people imitating their favorite music artists, clothes and boots and hats, and sometimes you even hear them trying to sing like him or her. I've heard that times as I'm out there witnessing, you know, they're changing their voice with the in a wangy way or whatever you want to say it, but I had to think, at least I have to give them credit, because at least they try, right? Where in the church, many want nothing to do with this biblical passage I'm teaching about. Many want nothing to do with it. And we know enough of God that we want our, they have this mindset, I know enough of God that we just want our family to be in church. It's a good place to grow up in, have your children grow up in. But to go as far as marking someone and making him a pattern, example, is a little too much for me. Many people are in church with that mindset. It's a little bit too much for me. I can't go that far. I can follow God my own way. And it's a spirit of rebellion. Philippians 3:18 again, Paul is, he's weeping over this. He's just weeping over this, that there's mistense. They're not willing to follow him. They're not willing to mark others. And so many times people are marking the wrong person. We all have a tendency to look to certain people or are drawn to certain people, whether good or bad example. And so my encouragement today is look to men and women who are transformed inwardly by the Holy Ghost and mark them and follow them. Mark them. There's a tendency for young people to look to other young people and follow them. I would encourage you young people to look to your God-given fashion models, God-given examples, your parents' examples who are following their example. I would encourage you, don't look around to your other friends. You know, I've heard, you know, young people, you know, make the comment, they're looking around, well, so-and-so has this, why can't I? And they're in the same church, you know, but they're God-given role models, see through those things and know better, and they want them to follow them. You know, look, it can go in every area of life, your vehicles, your hairstyle, your dress, your head coverings, your spirit, your zeal for the thing of God. Does it match or is it a mistint? You know, is there a spirit of jealousy? Is there anything within us that, you know, hinders us from marking them and following them? Mark your elders. They have wisdom. They have experience. They have walked down the road a little bit further than you have. And if you follow them as they follow Christ and go to them for advice, you can avoid a lot of pitfalls in life because they have some experiences. They have seen things you haven't seen, and they can avoid you a lot of grief in your life. And again, the reason you look to your example or pattern so that you yourself become the perfect match, so that you are an ensample to the lost and dying world, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm just going to read that verse again. It's a powerful verse. It says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And so I just encourage you to embrace this principle in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:12, I read it earlier, but I'm going to just read it again. The Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy to let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so Paul here, he's encouraging Timothy to be an example inwardly and outwardly. He's addressing both here. It's not just one. He says, be an example of the believers in word, the words that I'm speaking, in my conversation, that's my walk in life, how I conduct my life, how I'm going about everyday things. And then he says, in charity, in spirit, my spirit's in the inner man. 2 Corinthians 7:1 talks about cleansing the filthiness of the spirit. Sometimes we don't know what's in our inner man. And then in faith and in purity, moral issues, being pure, being example in every area of life, inwardly and outwardly. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so you're showing yourself a pattern because you're following a pattern. You're tracing. You're showing yourself a pattern. My children have been tracing the last couple days, I've noticed, and I came home the other evening for the first time I saw it, and from a meeting, and on the cabinet was laying a picture that one of the children had drawn. It was very impressive. I didn't know I had children that could draw like that. Then I flipped the paper over, and I said, oh, they traced it. They followed the pattern. I mean, it was a beautiful piece of artwork, and I just had no idea I had children that could draw that way. But then when I flipped it over, they followed the pattern. They traced it. And so here, you know, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern. And so you are to be a pattern in this congregation, in this world, to the lost and dying world. And you are becoming a pattern because you are tracing yourself, because you have someone marked also that's following Jesus Christ. And so I just encourage that. And notice here, verse 7, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, does it say, in a few things? It says, all things. It says, in all things, not just a few. You know, you go to the paint store, and you walk up, and you want a 5-gallon bucket of paint. And they punch the numbers in, and now they got a little bit more of a challenge. They don't take the lid off. They only have that small hole to put the tint in, and that's a little harder to do. And so sometimes maybe a little bit gets spilled off the side on top of the lid, and it did not get all put all in. The tint to make it the perfect sample did not get all put in. And so what do? They take paper towels and wipe the tint off, take the bucket and reject it, put it off the side because it didn't all get in. I mean, most of it got in, a few got in, but not all of it got in. And so they have to take it off the side and reject it because it has turned into a mistint. And so here it says, in all things. Romans 6, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So the doctrine of Jesus Christ has been set. It's been set in a form, no matter what you do or I do, you're not going to change it. I'm not going to change it. It's like that concrete that's been set in the form, it's gotten hard. You're not going to change it. The surface of it is going to stay there. It's set. And the form of doctrine of Jesus Christ has been set. You're not going to change it. You have a choice to be conformed to it or transformed to it and become Christ-like, or you have the opportunity to be a missed hen. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus says, upon this rock will I build my church. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. Though these words are set in the scripture, the form of sound words. And so my burden with this message today is this principle of marking our elders, our parents, and following them, a form of sound word that the church of our day, I believe, has rejected in a large part. The Church of Jesus Christ has rejected this principle. Everyone wants to be for themselves. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Be the perfect match and not a missed hint. Remember that missed hints get rejected. And I'm going to close with a verse where the missed hints are getting rejected. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here we see the missed hints get rejected. They get rejected at Sherwin-Williams too. And so my burden for the church, I believe you all are doing well in this, but don't let other things creep in. Mark your elders. That can be older men too that have long walked with the Lord and are not your elders also, but mark men that are walking as Christ walked and follow them. Trace them. Make them your pattern. Make them your example. Mark them. Put a check mark on their back. I know you're not going to do it physically, but put a check mark on their back in your mind. Follow them. So, God bless you all, and thank you for listening.